step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Recently, I was contacted by a viewer who claims to hunt some not-so-normal game. They said they're gonna send me multiple letters over time depicting their strange and terrifying experiences. Here is an excerpt from the letter they sent me. Dear Swamp Dweller, this is the first of the letters that I plan to write you so that you can read it on your channel. I'm incredibly grateful that you've given me the chance and the platform to share some of my experiences hunting the darker creatures of this world. I understand that you may not read this, but I'm happy just to even have the chance to get it out there. So, thank you for that, and hopefully, I'll send you my next letter sometime soon. So, without further ado, let's check out these creepy stories sent in from an alleged cryptid hunter. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, let's get in to these letters from a cryptid hunter. So, where to start? I have to say I'm not very good with most technology, but my girlfriend is helping me out. Plus, I can write just fine. So I think this will work out all right. I suppose I'll start by introducing myself. My name is Sam White Owl. Not your usual name, I know, but I'm half Cherokee, so there you have it. I'm a 47-year-old man, and let me tell you, I definitely am feeling my age. Many people in my line of work don't make it this far, and I will always be grateful that I have been around for as long as I have. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is my aforementioned line of work? It's difficult to explain. I've never had to tell anyone quite like this, but I'm getting old, and I figure it's time that people should know. I am what is known simply as a hunter, capital H. If you're thinking camouflage clothing, big rifles, and deer stands, well, you're not terribly far off. Well, in some cases anyway. I enjoy that usual sort of hunting too, but I really am talking about hunting other things. The things that inspire nightmares and make you scared of the dark. The world is home to things that people don't believe in or understand, but in my culture, we've known about some of these creatures for millennia, and it's been my family's job for some time to deal with them. These things are what we know as cryptids, creatures, or, more simply, monsters. The Hunters, capital H again, are a worldwide organization dedicated to helping humanity coexist peacefully with monsters. It's not our job to keep these creatures secret or to hide them from you. In fact, I think most of us would like it if the modern world would just wake up and start acknowledging the fact that these creatures are in fact real. Unfortunately, in most societies today, people simply don't listen to the old tales, and that makes hunters' duties that much harder. but I do those duties nonetheless because I believe it's the right thing to do. As a hunter, I live my life job to job, taking tasks where they come, and traveling to different locations, dealing with monsters in each place as I go. Sometimes hunters are able to resolve things peacefully. Many monsters are not inherently aggressive and can be reasoned with or otherwise handled without bloodshed. I like these cases the best because nobody gets hurt, and I walk away without a new set of scars. But other times the situation gets violent, and hunters are forced to fight. That's what we do best, if I'm being honest. Many hunters are not as willing to take the diplomatic approach as I am, and when push comes to shove, we shove hard. We hunters are a fairly loose organization as far as things go. We don't have a great deal of bureaucracy or restriction, which is nice but can also be annoying when it comes to organizing things or getting resources. For example, there are some great custom weapon makers in the deep south of the USA, but they're tough to reach without contacting them directly. It's not like we have a hunter weapons depot stock with their stuff. But it wouldn't be my job to get those weapons, even if they were readily available. That's because most hunters have a guide, capital G. A guide is someone who liaisons with the hunter organization at large and sniffs out potential jobs and cases. My guide is an older man named Sergio. He used to be a hunter on the ground himself before he started working as a guide. I think he was partnered with at least two other hunters before he came to me, which goes to show how short hunter careers can be sometimes. Anyways, that's enough logistics. If you'd like to know any more about me or hunting in general, feel free to ask in the comments or however else. I'd be glad to give you more information in another update. But right now, I'd like to talk more about what I'm sure most of you are here for, the monsters. I've heard lots of stories both here and in other places online about people's experiences with cryptids, and many of them seem quite true to my own experience and knowledge. I've hunted quite a lot of creatures in my time, and I've encountered pretty much all of the common North American monsters and cryptids. If you have any questions about any creatures in particular, be sure to let me know in the comments as well. I suppose I'll start talking about some specific monsters now. This will be part survival guide, part personal account. I'll try to explain what each creature is, what it is not, and how to deal with it. Before talking about my own experiences, if I haven't had any encounters of my own, then I'm sure I can find some testimonies from other people who have. I've made a lot of friends and contacts in the hunters over the years, and I'm sure some of them would be happy to share their stories too. I know that there are lots of other people like myself out there who want the world to know and understand our side of the story. Anyways, let's get into it. I'll start with what is probably the most well-known cryptid of all, Sasquatch, aka Bigfoot. These guys are quite common, ranging all across the continental United States and Canada, from Alaska to Florida. They're also relatively peaceful as monsters come, and this makes them one of the most well-studied species. As humans, we have known about them and coexisted with them for a very, very long time. My Cherokee ancestors and people of the other native nations and tribes have legends and stories about Sasquatches that go back thousands of years before the European colonization of North America ever happened. And for the most part, humans and Sasquatches were able to get along peacefully. Like any interaction between intelligent species, there was occasional conflict, though. And so my family has a long tradition of stopping violence between our two kinds, one way or another. Sasquatches are generally much like the pictures you may have often seen. They look like ape men. Fully grown, they stand anywhere from 6 to 10 feet tall and weigh anywhere from 300 to upwards of 1,000 pounds. They have a body structure that's very similar to that of a human, albeit with proportionally longer arms, proportionally longer hands and feet. They are covered in shaggy hair from head to toe, and from what I've seen, they have nearly as much range in their fur color as humans do with our own hair. Most Sasquatch have chocolate brown hair, but it's nearly as common for them to have gray or black fur. Some have reddish fur, or russet fur, while others have almost blonde or sandy colored hair. Rarely, Sasquatches can also be ash colored, also white sometimes. Although truly white hair in a Sasquatch only occurs when they're born albino, which can certainly happen. Geography seems to have some impact on the color of the hair as well, but not necessarily the environment or climate. It seems to be more of a population-based thing. For example, take the Sasquatches of southern and eastern Ohio, often called the Grassman. They tend to have reddish-brown fur, and it's likely that their children will look the same. Like humans, Sasquatch hair grows on almost their entire bodies, save for the palms and soles of their feet, and I believe parts of their faces. Sasquatch social structure is pretty fluid, just like the humans. Usually, they're solitary creatures, preferring to be alone. Unless they're siblings, you know, bachelors or a mated pair. But some make groups of up to 20 individuals sometimes, although it's very rare to see so many together. For the most part, you can expect to find Sasquatches either alone or in small groups of only a few. The physically stronger one usually tend to lead the group, and as many of these tend to be older Sasquatches, they have had some time to get to know the land they live on, where to find food, where humans live, good travel routes, and so on. They teach the younger generation these things and pass on their knowledge. Like humans, other apes, and some other animals, Sasquatches are able to teach other things. They're very intelligent, and I'd say they're almost as smart as humans. I've been told about Sasquatches ever since I can remember, and because my family has been in the hunters for a very long time, I learned a lot about all sorts of cryptids and monsters as I grew up. My first personal experience with a Sasquatch wasn't until I was about 9 or 10 years old, though. A very long time ago now, I know. First, a little background. My mother's side is the Cherokee one, and that side of my family comes from the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. My father is black and he's from Washington State. I'm going to try to keep all the locations in my post relatively vague, both to protect people's privacy and to keep the details of the cases just a bit private. When my parents divorced, I was just about 5 years old, and my mother got full custody of me, so I grew up in Oklahoma with her mainly. However, my dad would come to take me to Washington about twice a year or so. Although his side of the family wasn't involved with the hunters, they did enjoy regular old deer hunting, so they'd take me out into the woods every so often when I'd go up there, teaching me how to shoot and track and such. Both sides of my family taught me how to enjoy and respect nature, and I'll always be incredibly grateful for that. It was on such a trip that I first saw a Sasquatch. I won't give away the exact location, but it was in the eastern part of the state, in a densely wooded area. I was trekking along with my dad and grandfather, heading through a valley. The trees were mainly conifers, and I remember it being slightly overcast, not too hot or too cold. It was just before noon, and I recall being hungry. Suddenly, we heard a knock, and we all stopped walking. Knocks, or tree knocks, are a sound that Sasquatches commonly use to communicate. By stripping the bark off of a stick or a log and hitting it against a tree, they make these knocking sounds that carry for great distances through the woods. They use the sound like a person might use a shout or might yell, "Hey!" The sound advertises the presence of the Sasquatch and often is a warning or a statement of power. This time we heard one very distinct knock, and then silence. I remember my dad looking to my grandfather, and then taking my hand and starting forwards again, moving more slowly and calculated. I spoke up asking if that was a Sasquatch, and my dad answered that it probably was. After a minute or so, we heard another knock. It was closer and louder this time. It seemed to be coming from a ridge to our left, and we looked in that direction. Animals would like to have the high ground in situations, and this was no different. There, on the ridge above us stood what I can only describe as a Sasquatch, slightly blocked from view behind some of the bushes, but still visible nonetheless. It was a male, judging by the broad shoulders and bulky frame, and if I had to estimate now, He was probably 8 feet tall or more, although I'm probably not remembering correctly. He had dark red, almost brown fur and was still carrying the stick he used to knock on the tree. His posture was seemingly neutral, neither threatened nor threatening. He just stood there, watching us with what seemed like a mixture of curiosity and wariness. My dad held up his hands to indicate that we had no weapons, and then turned to me and my grandfather, indicating that we should go back the way we came. We hadn't caught anything that day, but that didn't bother me. I was absolutely elated. I'd seen pictures and remnants of creatures before, but I had never seen one alive that I could remember. That was the first time I'd seen a monster alive and active, and I was so happy. I didn't feel scared, although I guess the Sasquatch's appearance was a bit intimidating. I don't think my father and grandfather were necessarily scared either. They just wanted to keep all of us safe, and so they decided to head back the way we came in order to let the Sasquatch be. From my mom's family, they knew about monsters and such, and knew to respect their boundaries. Most people don't know or care about those boundaries, and when they cross them, things can get very ugly, very fast. A few years later, when I was 13 or so, my mom started taking me with her on some of her less intensive cases, to start teaching me the ropes of capital H, hunting. We went down to Florida on one of these trips in order to investigate sightings of a skunk ape. Skunk apes are not actually some weird hybrids between skunks and apes. That would certainly be an interesting and cool creature, but the truth is a bit less exciting than that. Skunk apes are just a subspecies of Sasquatch that inhabit the southeastern US, mainly Florida to Louisiana. The name comes from their smell because they absolutely reek. Take the odor of rotten eggs and sulfur, combine them, and increase the power of the stench by about tenfold, and you'll start getting the idea of what skunk apes smell like. They're a bit smaller and lighter in color than most other Sasquatches, with a sort of mane and hair that is incredibly long. This particular case had been called in because a skunk ape had apparently mauled two people. They were brothers who had been out hunting. They hadn't been killed, but they were severely injured with cracked ribs, fractured skulls, and internal bleeding, which had all been dealt with at the hospital they'd managed to get to. Both had talked about a man-sized ape coming out of the trees and beating them within an inch of their life, but the official explanation was that a black bear was responsible for the attack. This is the kind of willful ignorance that really gets to me. If there aren't even claw marks or bite marks on the victims, was it really even a bear attack? Their injuries were consistent with blunt force trauma, which is exactly what fist of a Sasquatch will cause. Unfortunately, people just don't want to admit to that. Anyways, my mom and I dealt with that case pretty quickly. The skunk ape was a lone female and her home range was being converted into housing developments. The hunters had been local and were practically hunting in their own backyards when they had gotten too close to the skunk ape's nest. She lashed out, and even though she hadn't killed the men, she had still proven herself to be a threat. My mother and I made the decision, together, that we weren't going to kill her. Instead, we'd tranquilize her and relocate her to somewhere safer. Along with my mom's guide, a lady named Hannah, we were able to pinpoint a state park in Alabama where we'd hoped she would be able to find a new life. The next day, my mom and I were able to track down the skunk ape and tranquilize her. My mom even let me take the shot. And after she dropped, we called in one of the hunter relocation crews to pick her up and take her to a new home. It was a clean job with no bloodshed necessary. Well, besides the hunters who were expected to make a full recovery. I love it when things work out that way, even though it is pretty rare that they do. If this first post goes over well, then maybe I'll tell you guys about some of the other cases that weren't so clean, and some of the monsters that caused them. Most of the time with Sasquatch, it's pretty simple. Since they aren't inherently dangerous or aggressive towards humans, it's usually pretty easy to relocate them. There's plenty of empty space across North America where we can take them to live out their lives without being afraid of humans or hurting them. This goes for the largest, most aggressive Sasquatches too. One example of this would be a Sasquatch that I hunted in 1994. I had only been working on my own for probably just a few weeks, and I had already handled some very aggressive monsters. So when Sergio told me about a Sasquatch wreaking havoc in British Columbia, I figured I'd be more than up to handle it. When I arrived in the province, I immediately picked up a fresh lead on the Sasquatch. Three people had been killed while camping in the mountains of a local national park. Though the hunters aren't directly part of any government agency, we still have badges and licenses for our organization, and those usually seem official enough to let us go where we need. This time I showed my badge to some park rangers and policemen who were investigating the scene of the killings, and I was let through to examine the area. Two women and one man had died quickly, it seemed, and hadn't put up much of a fight. The Sasquatch had broken one of the woman's necks, seemingly by throwing her into a tree, and had smashed in the heads of the other two. It wasn't very messy, and I had seen much worse, but it was obviously not pleasant either. Luckily, the Sasquatch had left some prints nearby, and I gathered my stuff. I headed off into the woods in search of it. The next day I caught up to it at a small creek. This one was a huge male, definitely over 9 feet in height, with dark gray hair and a physique that would make any professional bodybuilder look twig thin in comparison. He was squatting by the creek, using his hands to scoop water into his mouth. I was downwind of him and slightly uphill, on a slight ridge that overlooked the creek. I was in a perfect position. I shot him with a tranquilizer dart on the side of the neck, then began to run some distance away along the ridgeline. It'd take just a few moments for the tranquilizer to work, and I didn't want him catching me in that time. The big guy let out a roar of surprise when I shot him. Just like other great apes, Sasquatch makes a variety of noises. When they're in pain or angry, they give loud, earth-shaking roars that you can feel in the pit of your chest. I hadn't hurt this one, but he was surprised enough to make an enraged bellow. I turned back to see him rise to his feet and take a step forward, looking around himself for the source of the dart. He saw me and took a few staggering steps towards me, and then collapsed onto his back with a loud thud. I called in a crew, and soon enough they arrived to take him to the location I decided upon earlier. A nice safe area away from any human habitation. From my stories, you can hopefully see that Sasquatches are not just mindless beasts. They have thoughts and feelings just like us, and for the most part, they just like to be left alone. This goes for a lot of monsters, especially ones that are not predatory. If you come across a Sasquatch, it's usually best just to walk in the opposite direction. Don't run, point, flail around, or otherwise make yourself seem obvious or like a threat. Try to not make eye contact with the Sasquatch either. Just keep your head down, walk away, and you'll generally be just fine. Sasquatches usually attack if they're starving, if they feel threatened, or if you're near their nest. Any other time, they're usually very peaceful and even gentle creatures. If a Sasquatch charges you, though, you'll almost certainly have to defend yourself. Other animals will do mock or bluff charges to scare off potential foes, but I've never seen a Sasquatch do this. Once they charge, they always seem to commit to it. You won't be able to outrun them either, so you'll probably wind up fighting. If you're expecting this kind of situation, it's usually best to bring some sort of rifle with a high caliber, penetrating round. Sasquatch doesn't have very thick skin, but their hair can be very thick, and it often acts as protection against a lot of projectiles. The hair around their faces and neck is thinner though, and that's where you'll want to shoot. Just like with a human, headshots are most effective. I've never had to kill a Sasquatch, but I know hunters who have, and they always say that it's unpleasant. Maybe they feel that way because Sasquatches are so similar to humans. I'm just thankful I've never had to do it, even though I've had quite a few other unpleasant experiences. I'll tell you about some of those later if you guys are interested. Anyway, I think this has been long enough. I'll certainly answer any questions that you guys have in the comments down below. And if you guys want to hear about something in particular, just let me know, and I'll definitely see if I can fit it in. Like I said, if this post goes well, then I'll absolutely follow up with some more. For now, though, I think I've given you guys a fair bit to think about. I'll be back soon. This has been Sam White Owl, signing out.
Thanks for listening to this first installment of this new series on the channel.
If you enjoyed this story, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more I know if I should continue the series or not. Much love to Sam White Owl for sending this in to me. I very much enjoyed reading it. If you guys have a story that you would like to share on the channel, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium and can't listen to YouTube videos wherever you go, be sure to download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you find podcasts online. If you're looking to have a cool mask for your quarantine days, be sure to check out the Swamp Dweller face mask at teespring.com/swampdwellermerch. I'd love to see you guys rocking some cool masks out there. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the channel. I hope you enjoyed this story, and I'll see you guys next time with another creepy video.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.